did the candles this morning?
Because I forgot. Probably Brian, huh? No? Okay. Ah, okay. Well, thank you. Greetings in the name of our holy God, Yah. God's name in the Old Testament, when he met with Moses in Hebrew, I am Yah. I am that I am Yahweh. And so Yahweh or Yah, both the names of God. And whenever we talk about the holy name of God, we honor the holy name of God. Because as you know, in the Old Testament, it says that you will not take the name of God in vain. And our Jesus, his name is Yahshua, the holy name of God. I am salvation, God's salvation, or the salvation of God. If we reverse those. And again, a holy name that we honor, our holy God, his holy Son, and of course the presence of God's pneuma or ruach from the Old Testament, God's wind, God's breath, God's spirit that he has given to us. We are just so blessed as believers, are we not? So I thought I would start this morning with that good news, and I thought if anything in our day and time we should have good news. And so I was brought, I'm a news browser, I'm a freak, I got four news apps that I go through daily. And good news this week is the medical scientists have been able to identify an antibiotic that can treat the illnesses that have been previously resistant to our current antibiotics. And some of you probably have read or known about some of those diseases over in Africa that can't be treated by our current antibiotics. They have now discovered how to do that, and now they'll go into the development of antibiotics for those types of diseases. It has taken, what they said, it has taken about 30 years to figure this out. And just kudos to them for their diligence, for their work, for their care for people who are being afflicted by those kinds of diseases. The other good news that I'd like to report is I met with Pastor Mike Tift again this past week, and I will officially call what has happened to Pastor Mike a miracle, because I met with him at the beginning of his hospitalization, and again this week he is fully medically restored. So the only thing, his hemoglobin is a little low, so they have to treat that, but that's easily treatable. So all that he has left for himself is rehab, recovering the strength in his lower body, being able to stand, being able to walk. So what they did is they transferred him from Essentia to Aurora, called a bed exchange, so that he can get minimal rehab, about an hour a day, to try to get him strengthened, his lower body strengthened enough so he can, and I'll use the word, endure the pretty substantial rehab that Essentia Miller Duan does. I've talked to people who have undergone that rehab, and it is not fun. It is boot camp all over again. And so they're going to give him this time at Aurora until he has enough strength and movement to be able to go to boot camp at Miller Dawn. So that's really good news. Somebody asked about, Brian asked how he's doing mentally. Mental capacities are all there. Language is perfect. It is, you know, he is the Mike that I've known for years. Just cognitively right there, answering questions, bang. So I'm officially calling it a miracle. God answers prayer, and there's been many people praying for him. We will be taking our second offering, final offering for Pastor Mike and Martha this morning. And again, Gail will be passing around the basket. That's what that basket is for. Please, if you would, separate your offerings. It just makes it easier to account for that. Service at Waterview Pines this afternoon at 2 o'clock, if you're able to make it. One announcement, there's several in the bulletin, but one I'd like to highlight, and that is the Youth for Christ Championing of Hope Gala on the 11th of April, and if you're going to go, you need to get your tickets, is really what that boils down to. And then if you want to provide plants to decorate the sanctuary for Easter, please have them here by Saturday, April 12th. We are just a couple of days away from April, and April contains Holy Week. And so my thoughts, at least, head in that direction. I've asked Bernie if she would share about her mission to Oaxaca during our Sunday school class today. And also, I think it would be really fun for many of us to talk about our experiences there. And how many years did you and Wayne go down there? A lot. So we can get an update, a historical update. And I'll talk about, that has special meaning to me because of my discussion with one of the range pastors groups about missions. And I am just delighted with the missions focus that this church has had through the years. More than delighted, but I'll talk about that more during our Sunday school class. As we begin worship today, if you would turn to selection 798, which is Psalm 32, and we will read responsively the very first group and the very last group. There's four groups in selection 798, so we will pick out the first and the last. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, many are the torments of the wicked. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And if you would turn in your hymnals to hymn number 219, and let's pray together. Our Father, We are the sheep of your pasture. And we gather together because we are sheep. We need each other and we need you. Our Lord Jesus, the Father has assigned you to be our shepherd. We love you. We hear your voice. We find safety and peace and comfort when you are around. And we thank you that you are always around. We thank you that through all of time, you and the Father have been active, seeking to save that which was lost. We're thankful for that because we were lost, but you found us. We can't thank you enough for seeking and finding us. We are here today to honor the Holy Father God, to honor His Son Jesus, to honor the very Spirit of the Holy God, present and working on this planet today. We glorify you and honor you, surrendering this time to you and our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. And if you found hymn number 219, if you would stand, let's sing this together. I will sing the wondrous story. Should be able to sing this with gusto.
Story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, back into the way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone, fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. Come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the sea your still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Our Father, before you we will sing the wondrous story of your Son that you sent, because you have paid the price through him so that we can spend eternity with you. Lord Jesus, we thank and honor you for your dedication, for your sacrifice, for your just profound love for your Father and obedience to him to complete that redemption transaction despite what you had to endure. You have done it for him. You have done it for us and all people, that the gift of eternal life can be available. And so we give you honor, glory, our majesty, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading today is from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and then drop down to verses 9 through 16. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the second reading is from the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to the high places and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from there. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for the word of God. We'll be taking an offering this morning. And once again, the basket that Gail will have will be for the special offering for Pastor Mike and Martha Tift. If you would, ushers, if you would come forward. Our Father, we give to you not just financial gifts, but we give to you our hearts, our lives, all that we are and all that we have. Receive it with gladness, for we honor you through Jesus. Amen. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. Stand together and let us give thanks and praise to our God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before you to pray for the works that you are doing on the Iron Range. The churches, the missions, the home Bible studies, all the work that you have, the various parts of the kingdom. Lord Jesus, the various parts of your body that you have functioning to bring honor and glory to you and our Father. We thank you, Holy Father. We thank you, Holy Son. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving amongst us. And we do not forget or omit our gratefulness, our thanksgiving, praise, and honor to you for all that you are doing throughout the whole world. We thank you that even in the midst of modern media, your name, your truth, your word are being proclaimed. We thank you that we can see you moving. We can see your hand at work. We can sense, as many have testified to me, that something is happening spiritually in our country and indeed in the world. And so we pray for all that you're doing, all the people that are involved in what you're doing. We pray for safety for those who are in danger, encouragement for those who are challenged with anxiety. We pray and ask for joy and happiness, encouragement and faith for those who are down and depressed. We pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit for everyone who honors you and has chosen to follow you. And finally, we would ask that your good news, your gospel, the gospel of Jesus, would go forth throughout all the world, that as that seed is scattered on all types of ground, it would find and take root in the hearts of people and grow into a choice of commitment to the Holy God and to the Holy Son. That choice being a choice of forever. Let your word go forth and let it not return to you empty until it has accomplished what you have sent it to do. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be alive during this time when we can see the power and majesty, your power and majesty, displayed throughout all the earth. And we can hear about it because of all of the media that is available. And know that you are at work not just with us, but with so many. We thank you, our Father God. We thank you, our Lord Jesus, for the miracle of healing in the life of Pastor Mike. But we also thank you for the miracles that you have produced in our lives to bring us to this day, as we could think back and recount the history of your work in each of our lives. We each give you glory for your goodness to us throughout our entire lives, throughout our families, throughout our friends that we know. And we know that you have not completed your work. You are not done. You are going to continue to work. And so we put ourselves and all who we love and know and have been praying for into your hands for your continued work, that you would bring it to completion for your glory and honor. And while you do that, we have to say we are delighted to see you at work and see what you accomplished. You are the mighty God. You are the only God. You are the most high God. And we declare that to be true. Through the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to 584. A long-standing, solid, old hymn of our fathers.
Faith of our fathers living still,
in spite of dungeons, fire, and sword. Our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to you till death. Faith of our mothers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife. To as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our mothers, holy faith, we will be true to you till death. Faith of the martyrs who, though bound, were still in heart and conscience true. How blessed would be their children's faith if they, like them, should die for you. Thank you, Shirley. I hope you meant that while we were singing it, that you will be true to him till death. If you want to follow with me, we will be in Luke chapter 15 this morning. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us three parables, and we got to spend a little time in the parables since he used that method so much during his life and ministry. And we'll just be taking a quick look and hopefully a slightly humorous look at sheep this morning. But I'd like to begin Luke chapter 15, and we're going to be covering verses 1 through 32, but we won't be reading all of that. But I'd like to start with verse 1. Now the tax gatherers and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Bad Jesus." And then Jesus told them this parable. This is the first of three parables about lost. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So I'd like to talk about sheep for a few minutes. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture, right? You're a sheep, right? I'm a sheep, right? We are sheep. It kind of takes a little to sink in. How many here have ever herded sheep? Okay, we've got an expert in the crowd, so you can correct my understanding of sheep. When I was in Cook, we had a member of one of the home Bible studies that I was doing. His name was Tom, and he was a sheep herder. And he delighted us with stories about sheep, and to him, sheep were humorous and frustrating. So, a little research and update about sheep. Sheep sleep only about 15% of the day, which is about 4 hours daytime, but they don't really sleep. And so scientific studies have been done to try to identify what is this that they do. And those studies have discovered that sheep have no characteristics of what we know as sleep. What they do is rest and ruminate. And sheep are ruminators like cows, okay? That's what they do. And so they basically spend all their time eating and ruminating. Kind of makes me think about what we do all day long. Could you imagine spending all your day just doing eating and ruminating? And that's pretty much it. I'd think that'd be pretty boring myself. Sheep like to be in groups. And the reason they like to be in groups is they find safety and peace in groups. They help each other. They warn each other. The presence of other sheep gives them that feeling of safety. For sheep, of course, sheep are victims. They don't have much to fight back with. Have you ever been bitten by a sheep? They do bite, by the way, but it's rare, but it doesn't help them much because they can't do any much more than that. And so the only thing sheep can do for safety is run. And I thought of the scriptures where we flee to God for refuge, and I think of the times as a sheep where instead of fleeing for refuge, I have determined to battle myself, only to discover at the end of that short battle that I should have fled for refuge. That should have been the first thing I should have done. But I am independent, and I don't know, you'll have to ask Kathy what the word would be for this, but bullheaded, focused, intense. And so when it comes to a battle, a few weeks ago, our garage door opener died. And so I got intense about it, and I'm going to discover what's wrong with it, and I'm testing it out electrically and all that kind of stuff. Couldn't figure out, realign those little safety eyes, and all the lights were green and still wouldn't work. Push the button, motor whirs, and nothing happens. And so finally I decided, got to buy a new garage door opener, so I took the old one down. Oh, I'm not done yet. No, I took the garage door opener apart because I still want to know why this isn't working, because I'm going to fix it. Took it apart, and the nylon gears are all shredded. Well, I'm not fixing that. Oh, I'm not done yet. I'm intense. I'm focused. That new garage door opener is going to go up. So I spent a whole day. That garage door opener is going up. It's up. And I wasn't done until it was working. And I could go back in to Kathy and say, your garage door opener is working. So I get focused. I get intense at times. But during that time, I'm also mindful as I come out of my intensity that I need to flee to God for refuge. And so I'm sure, like many of you, there are points during that time where I just go, Lord, how do I do this? What do I do next? How do I put this together? How do I mount this? How does it work? And I have to say, the whole process, though it took a lot of time, worked really well, a lot better, when I could take time to pray. Well, sheep need safety. What makes sheep happy? What makes sheep happy is what you're doing this morning, being together. That's what makes sheep happy. And I thought about how many folks could be here this morning, people that we know. Hey, this is a great time. We're heading toward Easter. You can invite people to church for Palm Sunday. You can invite people to church for Easter to be able to be together. And I don't know about you, but when more people are here, I like it, right? It's cool. It's nice to have more people here. I know if you invite them, they may not take up the invitation. Hey, but it's still worth a thought to invite them. For sheep, safety is important because they really can't fight back. And so they flee for refuge into rocky areas. They do not flee into the woods. That is danger for them, because if they flee into the woods, they're done for. And so they flee into the rocks. Their primary predators are coyotes, which is why sheep don't particularly like dogs until they get to know them. It's because they view dogs as predators. Sheep like to sleep in rocky terrain because it gives them a feeling of safety. But there's one other thing that gives sheep a feeling of safety, and that is their sheep herder. And you probably know this. They get to know their sheep herder. They get to know her voice. They actually get to know her face. They get to know music, if she uses music. David, as when he was a sheep herder, if you remember, he used music in his downtime, which I thought he must have had a lot of downtime. If all sheep do all day is eat and ruminate, which is part of their eating, what's David doing all day? It's gotta be like super boring. I mean, he didn't have a smartphone to check on or anything like that. And as we know, what David did is he spent all his days fleeing for refuge to the Lord constantly. Sheep don't see very well. One of the things they lack is depth perception. And so they are afraid of shadows. They are afraid of dark spots. They are afraid of unknown things or unknown people or unknown dogs until they get used to them. They do have face recognition. Sheep are low to the ground. And so when they forage, what they leave after they're done eating is pretty much a barren landscape. We were watching a cowboy movie, one of those old westerns, this past week. And this western was about cattle people, and sheep people were coming in, and they were going to get rid of the sheep and the sheep people. Sheepers, they called them. Because sheep eat everything, and there's nothing left for the cattle to eat. And the solution in this cowboy movie was, it's simple. Let the cattle eat first. When they move off that pasture, put the sheep into that pasture because they're lower to the ground and they get the stuff that the cattle have left. Easy solution. Happiness for sheep is being in a group of three or more. Sheep are social animals. I love it because we are social animals. We come to church, we talk to each other, we encourage each other, we smile at each other. So what do sheep do when they're happy? One of the things they do is headbutt. And I think, have we headbutted each other? Yeah, there's times we've headbutted each other, right? There's times we've disagreed. That's part of the happiness or the feeling of safety within this group, that you can be honest enough to say, I don't agree, or this is my opinion. We had a brother who was with us for many years, went on to be with the Lord, who sat right back there in that corner of that last pew. And before or after church, I would talk with him. And I don't know if you talked with him a lot, but he had some really bizarre beliefs. Not beliefs about Christianity, but beliefs about aliens and other cultures, and then just some really strange ideas. I loved talking with him to hear these ideas he had, because we're all different and we all think different. So I think, it's just my opinion, I think headbutting is a good thing. Why? Because we learn other things. How many of us have learned something from someone who said, I don't agree? Just because it's different doesn't make it bad or wrong. What else do sheep do when they're happy? They get close to each other. They snuggle up to each other. Okay, we give handshakes. We're kind of formal. You go into some churches and they hug each other. I'm not sure we're there yet, but it'd be a good thing if we got there, if we got to be a hugger church. Nothing wrong with that. We care about each other. We mostly like each other, not entirely, but mostly like each other. But we have a group here that cares and cares about people. I think that's one of our selling points, by the way. I remember a few years ago it was kind of sarcastically humorous to me in a way. We had a young couple who came to church, new, never seen them before, new to the area. And I was back, I must have been either on sound or ushering at the time. And I watched people after people coming up to them and talking with them, and one after another, another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And then they got to the back and I attacked them. I think maybe we overwhelmed them with love. I think that can happen too. But isn't that better than walking into a church and walking out and nobody talking to you? And I would say yes. We care about people. Illness is a difficult thing for a sheep herder because it's difficult to determine with sheep. And so you need to know your sheep. Oh, by the way, sheep are like dogs, very much like dogs. They can learn their own names, and they learn commands, and they learn expressions, especially if it comes from the sheep herder that they know and love. Illness is a tough thing to see, and so the sheep herder is the one who has to pay attention to the sheep, because just because a sheep is lying down doesn't mean they're sick, but sometimes it does. And so sheep herders have to pay attention. What do sheep do when they're feeling low or depressed? They move away from the flock. They keep in sight of the flock, but they move away. And I think how many people are out there who have moved away from our flock, keeping an eye on us, but have moved away because they're feeling low or depressed and probably need someone to visit with them. Care of sheep. Care of sheep is important, and I've talked about this before because it is so important to me in the church, not just our church, but every church and the universal church of Christ. To care for sheep, rough handling is not what you do, because rough handling only makes it worse. Gentleness, care, love is what works. And I've mentioned this before because I've been in churches, you probably have too, where you get scolded, or where you get, in some cases, what I would call beat up. When I watch Christian television, there are a few of those Christian ministers that I just fast forward perhaps past, because they're just yelling at me. And apparently people like to be yelled at because those churches are full. But I don't like to be yelled at. I like niceness. I like it to be good. I like gentleness. I like our gentle shepherd. I like his peace. I like his joy. I like his solid, peaceful strength. Intelligence. Sheep are intelligent. As I mentioned before, they can learn. They can learn techniques how to be safe. Talking with Tom, I was surprised to hear that even though they're intelligent, there are areas of their life that I would call pretty dumb. Tom told me that sheep can drink themselves to death if you don't monitor them and pull them away from drinking. Part of the reason, he said, for that is, again, their sight is a problem. And so water to them, they don't see water like we see water. So that's a little bit of the dumbness. And I thought, we are sheep of God's pasture, right? So some of this stuff fits. the way we are and the things that we do. So why do sheep baa? That's a word, by the way. So I'm not going to do the baa sound. Baa is a word. So why do sheep baa? Well, they find safety in the group, remember? And so when they do that, that's their connection to the group to make sure that they're within hearing distance. Especially the ewes and the baby sheep, the lambs, it's a connection point for them when they hear someone in the crowd. Then they know that they need to get closer because they're wandering away. So it brings me to this scripture that we read. Verse 3, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. How can you lose a sheep? How can you lose a sheep? They want to stay in the group for safety. They have someone in the group doing the baaing. If that's a word, I don't know if that's a word or not. How can you just lose a sheep? And I don't know sheep's thinking. But what I imagine is they're eating and eating and eating, and they just keep on eating and get lost. I mean, it's not like they're going off into the woods looking around going, "Oh, this is a beautiful place. I came out here to see the birds today." No, they spend all their day eating and ruminating. And I figure that's probably how they got lost. So here's my theories of how they get lost. Just because they wander off. Just because they're not paying attention. Just because they feel alone. So we have three parables here. The lost sheep, which we've spent some time on. The second one is the lost coin. And if you're with me, a coin is not like sheep because a coin can't think at all, right? It just gets lost. It can't figure out how to get lost. It can't figure out how to get found. It just gets lost. The third parable is the parable of the lost boy, the lost son. And we all know that parable. That lost son was not like a sheep, just unaware of everything and just wanders off and gets lost. Not like a lost coin who can't think at all. No, the lost son made a decision. I am leaving. Give me my money. I am leaving. So the message today from this passage is this. If we've got a person who just wanders off, doesn't even know why, just out there somewhere, someone we could invite to church, not really knowing why they've wandered off, just a sheep, okay? Or if that person out there is a coin, can't think at all, hasn't heard or accepted the gospel of Jesus, just not thinking about Jesus at all, not thinking about church at all, just a coin, just out there somewhere. Or if that person is a lost son who decided, I am going to turn away from the Lord, I'm going to leave church, I'm going to go do my own thing, Here's the message for today. Jesus seeks them all. No difference. And I think we can be in that same mission to seek them all. No prejudice. We don't have to make judgments. We don't have to figure out if they're coins, sheep, or rebellious. We can just seek them all because that's what God does. Someday we'll have to talk about how sheep-like we are, because we certainly are. Pray with me for a second. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, our shepherd, that you constantly seek after us, regardless of where we are or why. It's you. It's just you. Thank you. Your name, Jesus. Amen. If you turn to hymn number 601, Showers of Blessings. Stand with me, if you would, please.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling.
Verse 4, if you would please.
There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now then Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
And in this group of sheep that we love so much to be together with, let's bless each other.
Give you, give you, give.